This is Hoagy Carmichael and Georgia on My Mind, and composer and vocalist Hoagy Carmichael first recorded this song on this day, September 15th, 1930 in New York. And Georgia on My Mind, it's the official song of the state of Georgia in the USA. Possibly the best-known version is the one from Ray Charles, but this is actually Hoagy singing his own composition. He wrote some classics during his very long career. He wrote Stardust, The Nearness of You, and how's this for a personal best? 50 of the songs that he wrote achieved hit record status in his lifetime. He was born in 1899. He died in 1981 at the age of 82, and on his 80th birthday, Hoagy said, "I'm a bit disappointed in myself. I know I could have accomplished a hell of a lot more. I could write anything anytime I wanted to, but I let other things get in the way. I've been floating around in the breeze." Well, that's a bit of serious floating, I'd have to say. Julia, have you ever thought you could have accomplished more?
Oh, God, help me. I'm very happy so far, but I'm planning to accomplish a lot more, Karen. I mean, this is my third trimester now, so... There's a lot more to do. There's a lot more to do, my dear.
Your third what?
I look at my life as, you know, a pregnancy, like trimesters. I mean, I'm in the third one. I'm in the last stages. I'm 67. I'm heading, you know, the runway is shorter ahead of me than it is behind me now. But that doesn't, I mean, to be fair, I never really think about that. But I've got a lot I'm planning to do, and I have done, considering how I started and my life, I've done a hell of a lot more than I thought I'd do already.
What about you, Shane? A bit of floating's okay when you're 80, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I reflect back sometimes and I think I should have done things better and made some mistakes in my life, but it's all part of the learning process. And there's a lot I want to sort of achieve. And I'm in my mid-50s, and I think the older you get, you start thinking about these things and you want to do a lot of things. Like, I know this is crazy to say in a COVID world, but you want to travel. You want to go to more sort of interesting places, a big wide world out there, and try and put in a plan to sort of make it happen. But also, I think it's important to enjoy the moment. I try to do all of that, but you know, life is not perfect, is it?
It is not. Shane Tupole and Julia Hartley Moore are my guests on the panel. It's 5:24, and have you ever felt the need to throw your boss under the bus, maybe CCing the rest of the workplace into a nasty email as you leave, or even coming out on social media and saying exactly what you thought of the boss? Well, it's not actually a part of a leaving strategy that professionals would support. In fact, it's deemed highly unprofessional by those in the business. You're supposed to leave with dignity, never say another thing about it, except perhaps in the privacy of your own home. Well, journalist Janet Wilson also runs a communications company in partnership with her husband, Bill Ralston. And she worked as ex-national leader Todd Muller's chief press secretary when the party ousted Simon Bridges from the top spot. And then she went on to work for the current leader, Judith Collins. Well, this morning in the podcast The Fold, which is hosted by Duncan Grieve on the spin-off, Janet Wilson said this about her ex-boss, Judith Collins.
She demands complete loyalty and focus from her caucus, which is what any leader should do. And then she herself personally doesn't display that same focus on what the real issues are. And that's part of the problem of her leadership, I believe. She prizes loyalty above all else, but then her ugly stepsister paranoia steps in and she has these almost paranoid storms. She should be taken off Twitter. If she had a press sec worth half his or her salt, taking her off Twitter would be the favour that he would do the party and Judith. But Judith wouldn't listen to that anyway. She would see that as an act of disloyalty.
That's Janet Wilson throwing her ex-boss, Judith Collins, under the bus. And Judith Collins has responded today in Stuff. She said Janet Wilson was showing an unprofessionalism that I wouldn't have expected, not expected from someone who had been employed in a very generous way. Shane, as an ex-Labor Party man, well, this sort of thing goes on all the time backstage. What do you make of a communications consultant broadcasting her opinion in this way?
I think it was very brave of Janet. I think she probably knew that Judith Collins wasn't going to have a go at her. You know, there's growing disquiet amongst particularly the liberal sect within the National Party over the behaviour of their leader, and you know, and also Janet makes her crust, makes money out of having people trust her in terms of leading their comms program. And I think it was not only the right thing to do, I think it was a very brave thing to do. The other thing is, I have personal
insight. Would you trust her after that, yep. though? Would you trust her to, yeah, if you employed yeah, her yeah. after that?
I would trust her.
Well,
absolutely,
you would.
I would trust her. No. And I think others will, because I think others will, because I think it was quite honest and it was about the greater good. And there are a lot of people within their own party that are sharing these concerns. And, you know, we see the ultimate fruits of it. A poll has been leaked today that has National on 26. They haven't increased in real terms there since where they were at, in terms of the last election. You know, they haven't reached the benchmark that she set for herself, and that was 35%.
So it's more about, yeah. But isn't it more about like dissing somebody that you've worked for publicly? You know, like laying into someone that you've worked for, rather than the politics of it? Or are the two just so intrinsically combined that you can't separate them?
Well, and also, you know, politics is a unique unique paradigm. So I think you've got to look at it in that context. And I think that history will judge Janet well, and her party will, and the framework and within the party that she supports will judge her well, because it may be the beginning and the end in terms of, or the long beginning and the end for, in terms of the leader of the opposition, and hopefully something fresh for the National Party. Because I am concerned that they're not the type of opposition that we need, and that they're not getting the traction that is needed at this point in time in our history.
Julia?
Yep. Look, agree again. I think, and look, Janet is saying she's there in the inner sanctum. She sees it. We don't. We sometimes feel it and wonder. But also Judith is a public person. So it's not yep. like she's throwing some private person under the bus, you know. Yes. I don't think she has anyway. And I certainly would – I respect her for that. I think that takes guts and courage, and good on her. I don't think that we have a strong opposition leader. I mean, that's kind of been obvious for some time. And, I mean, this is a terrible thing to say, but this is my opinion. When I kind of look at Judith Collins, I see a combination of Michelle Bogue and Christine Rankin, and I just think, you know, it's just depressing. So I would like to – something's – you know, the National Party have so lost their way.
Debbie says, is Janet Wilson trying to do damage control on her career due to her failures with Judith's campaign? It's not a good look.
No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, I don't think so. And also what she could have done, it might not have had the impact, but what she could have done, and, you know, I'm involved in politics, and what she could have done is she could have just simply gone off the record. She could have leaked key points, you know, but she didn't. She was brave about it, and she fronted up. And you know, there is a risk. There's a personal risk, and there's a business risk. And I go back to my central point. First of all, I think it was the right thing to do. I think it was that a lot of that stuff that she talked about is known. It's factual. It just sort of confirms the behaviour that
it's
Judith
not known
Collins
by,
had for a long time.
It's not known by us in the public.
Well,
you know, we don't know that that's factual.
Yeah, but
we know that personal.
That's hearsay.
Personal attacks. Well, we know that personal attacks are factual. We know that that occurred just last week. You know, we know that that's factual. And, you know, it confirms, whether it's hearsay or not, it confirms many of the things and concerns that, you know, people across the political spectrum have.
And this texter says, it's a disgrace, Janice Wilson, a disgrace. She took the money, which is the point that Judith Collins made, that she'd been employed in a very generous way.
Well, it's a job.
End of? Okay.
Yeah, but also... Yeah, but also it's a cheap shot, I think, from Judith Collins that she was paid and she was paid well. I think it's just another cheap shot that I think reflects badly on Judith Collins and what happened. And I think we've gotten used to it, and I think a lot of people have had enough of it.
Things. What do you reckon that she was paid for a 4-month contract?
I don't know what she would. I would imagine it'd be around the 120-130 mark. Prorated, maybe 140, 150, which, you know, is a fairly decent range to most of our listeners out there. Yeah, prorated. But, you know, you have to drop all your clients, and I would imagine that Janet would have a few. You have to drop all your clients. You have to put your life on hold. And in those roles, I think you ought to be paid generously. The other thing is those roles are quite different to most other roles we have. They're event-based. So you can lose your job at any point in the day when the leader or when your employee has lost confidence in you. So, you know, there's often a premium for that.
Shane Tupou and Julia Hartley-Moore are the panellists today at 16 minutes to 5. And Facebook has kept secret its own research that suggests that the app Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, makes body image issues worse for teenage girls. A slide from an internal presentation which was seen by the Wall Street Journal says, "We make body issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls." And a follow-up presentation slide says 32% of teen girls said that they'd felt bad about their bodies and Instagram made them feel worse. Well, with me now is Pauline Stockhausen, Digital and Social Media Director with Sweeney Vesti. Kia ora, Pauline.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you. Put simply, is Instagram bad for us?
Well, no, it's not bad for us. It's all how you consume content. So, you know, teenagers these days are spending more and more time on social media consuming content, a lot more than any other generation. And I think what they're consuming is, I mean, Instagram is particularly bad in the fact that, you know, everyone shares their highlight reels, you know, everyone uses filters. So it's sort of a little bit not real in the Instagram world. And that can be quite harmful to youth if they're not aware of it.
What about TikTok? Does that bring up the same issues for younger people?
Well, TikTok's a different sort of a platform. It's more, a lot more real videos go on there. It's not so much about the pretty pictures. It's more about videos and having fun and dances and being a lot real. You feel like people are sharing their real true stories on TikTok, whereas Instagram is very much, you know, the pretty picture, where we're living, what we're doing, and you sort of feel like you're missing out in a way.
So Instagram, you know, teenagers, it's reported that depression, low self-esteem and eating disorders coming out of the visuals, I guess, trying to look your best.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to what sort of content you're consuming. If you're consuming a lot of content that's not real, people who have not very good eating habits and sort of doctoring all their images in Photoshop to make them look skinnier. And if you're seeing that all the time, you're going to compare yourself to that. You know, your life's not like that. Why can't you have that? So I feel like that's a lot of what's going on with the teenagers. They're consuming content that, you know, they need to sort of change what they're consuming, you know, follow pages that are talking about diverse body types and shapes and people who have been a bit more real.
Because it's interesting, isn't it? An entire generation, it's a bit of an experiment, really, in terms of, you know, they say they're okay, but are they okay? You know, if you'd grown up with that from the year dot, you know, how would you cope with it?
I think we've all had these issues throughout the years. I mean, when you think about how we grew up, you know, it was all very much TV, ads, magazines, and Barbie dolls. You know, not many of us have that figure. So, but the difference is the consuming of the same images across, you know, and it's a global. People can look at content throughout the world, so it's the same images that they're seeing all the time.
So, Shane, I'll ask you here, the problems with body image might apply to men as well. They do apply to men. What about things like workout selfies and all of that? I'm just addressing you, Shane. He's
sorry,
gone.
I dropped out for a little while there. That's the down. Hey, look, no, look,
you went down the Zoom rabbit hole.
Yeah, I think it's become more sophisticated in its approach, but you know, particularly Instagram. Yeah, I use it. I have a child that uses it quite a lot, and yeah, it's all about picture perfect and leading the perfect sort of lifestyle. And yeah, and you know, a message I have to parents out there is we've got to get on top of this, and you know, don't be afraid to demand access to your kids' accounts, and just keep an eye on it and do the best you possibly can.
And Julia, does Facebook have a responsibility to do something like this? They're burying this research, is what's being reported. They don't want us to know.
Well, you know, but here's the thing, Karen. This really has been around since year dot. I mean, I grew up with magazines, and everyone was photoshopped. All those amazing models where you had, you know, the top models, you know who they were back in the day. They were all photoshopped. None of those pictures were real. So I grew up looking at them thinking, why the hell aren't I 6 foot six, and why don't I have a 22-inch waist, you know? It's kind of no different. It's just very accessible now. But it's the same kind of thing. And they're still photoshopping models. So nothing's changed. And it's just – and now people can photoshop themselves, you know.
Pauline, I would have thought that with COVID and how the world changed with, you know, talking on Zoom and Teams and whatever, or whatever, you know, Facebook, whatever you're talking on, that that age group would have seen that's real, that's real life, and you know, not have had the same issues.
Well, I mean, I think you're following people on Instagram, and you know, like influencers, and you become very connected to these people and you almost feel like you're friends. So there's a little bit of you know, from real life to not so real life. But I mean, we've got to understand that, you know, Instagram is a tool and it's not all bad doom and gloom. I mean, social media can be used for good as well, and there's really good things coming out of the social media, especially with the new movements with body image and you know, unrealistic body standards. There's all these hashtags that you can just be real on. I think a lot of it has to do with educating our parents, to educate our teenagers on, you know, how to safely be on social media, how much time to spend on it, and who to follow, and how does these accounts that you're following make you feel, you know, and if they do make you feel not good, then, you know, unfollow them and follow people who give you joy and make you laugh. You know, it's all about, you know, positioning it like that.
That's a good way of looking at it. How do they actually make you feel? What a nice way of putting it. Mm. Thank you very much, Pauline. Great to talk to you again.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Pauline Stockhausen, Digital and Social Media Director, and it's 9:05. Now we're going to talk about runny eggs. Yes, we are. Food safety experts are advising us, to New Zealanders, to steer clear of eating runny eggs while a strain of salmonella is circulating here, and that includes any desserts with raw egg in them, like tiramisu. Tiramisu. I think I'm saying that right. It's not a Māori word. With me now is Consumer New Zealand Chief Executive John Duffy. Kia ora, John.
Kia ora. How's it going?
Not too bad. What is the strain of salmonella? Where's it being detected?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me to pronounce this, so here we go. Here's my best effort. Salmonella enteritis, and it's pretty common in Europe and in the United States, but it's not here. It's been detected in a North Island hatchery that supplies the poultry industry with chicks. And so there's potential downstream effects. MPI have an ongoing kind of investigation testing kind of the downstream suppliers of eggs to make sure that it hasn't got into the system.
All right, they don't know whether it has or not. There's nobody's actually, you know, become ill.
Well, no, there are the 48 people who have become ill from the strain, but I guess, you know, similar to COVID, they have to kind of backtrack up the supply chain to try and work out where it's come from. So as we understand it, NPR have got a broader kind of testing regime that they're going through with a number of suppliers, and they're nearly through that process, but they are putting out strong advice for consumers to be wary of any products that have raw eggs in them.
And, just not eat them. Well, that's going to be bad for the poultry industry, isn't it?
Well, no, that's apparent, as we understand it, it's perfectly safe to eat eggs as long as you cook them thoroughly.
Okay, but so just raw.
Making kind of, yeah, so homemade mayonnaise, tiramisu, as you pointed out, meringues, demifrito, that kind of thing should be steered clear of.
I mentioned runny yolks, so what about if you like your eggs not done very well? That's not the right way of putting it.
No, that's, I understand what you mean. You probably want to give them a little bit extra just until this... Till the extent of this has been ascertained by MPI.
How long do they think that'll be?
Well, they from what they're telling us, they've got 5 chick rearing facilities still to go in their testing program. And once the results are back from that, we should know how widespread it is, and whether. And they've also said that if any kind of consumer facing businesses, so like egg suppliers, have it detected. They will immediately let consumers know. So I guess kind of keep an ear out for that, and that consumer will certainly be reporting that if it comes about.
Tiramisu, I didn't realise that had raw eggs in it.
Yes, it does.
Well, that's the short answer to that. Shane, how do you like your eggs? Will you have to give up? Will you give up your runny eggs, or you don't like eggs?
No, I love eggs. And I'd love poached eggs, and I love fried eggs, and I love boiled eggs, and I love them runny as. And we'll have to be careful a little about like that. And it is what it is. We better adhere to it. We don't want to get sick. And hopefully we can sort this out, the issue out sooner rather than later. But yeah, eggs are pretty much a staple diet in this family. I can tell you that.
How many would you get through a week?
We would probably get through 2 dozen, you know, baking. And you know, when you're at home, you're baking more than you normally would. You're having cooked breakfasts more than you normally would, because, you know, when you're in lockdown, food becomes more important. It's your little reward for the day. And, so probably more in sort of these times than we normally would, that's for sure.
John, does this also include chickens at home, like people who have got chickens in the backyard?
Look, in theory, it doesn't. You know, from what MPI are telling us, that it's got into these commercial hatcheries. But if people have bought chicks from commercial hatcheries that they've now got at home, they should follow all the normal precautions with cooking eggs from their chickens at home. And if they have concerns, they should contact MPI, and they may want to get either their birds or their eggs checked and tested.
And hi, would you be able to ask if this is all eggs or just cage eggs? What brand of egg?
So at the moment... at the moment they haven't named any egg brands in particularly. They've only it's further up the supply chain, so it's the hatchery, the hatcheries and chick rearing facilities that are being tested. So at the moment it hasn't, from what they've said, it hasn't got into eggs that they can detect. Having said that, 48 people have got sick from the strain, so you know it must be getting to consumers at some point.
Well, John, thank you, and thank you for the warning.
No problem.
And this texter says, mayo and aioli. Is that how you say that? Having difficulty with my words today. Are made with raw eggs too, so they are. Julia, so you'll heed that warning? Do you eat many eggs?
Look, I think my reward from the day today will be a nice glass of wine. But I do occasionally eat eggs. I'm just kind of trying to get my head around meringues, because that's egg white and that's baked. So I'm not sure how that works, because there's no egg yolk in meringue, is there? He said meringues, tiramisu and meringues.
No raw egg. That's all you have to think about.
Yeah. So if it's baked, it's good, right?
If it's baked, it's okay. Yeah, I guess so. It's cooked.
Yes. There you go.
Very good. All right. Well, that's just about it from us. We're coming up to the 5 o'clock news and checkpoint after that. And my thanks to Julia Hartley-Moore. Thank you very much, Julia.
Thank you, Karen.
And Shane Tupou. Thank you, Shane. Kia ora.
Aira watu.
You might be able to help me here. I want to see if I'm saying this right, Shane. Ka hoki mai apopo. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Oh, that's cool. Thank you very much for that. And thanks to our panellists. And I haven't been doing this show on my own, I have to tell you. My thanks to producer Bridget Burke in Level 4 Lockdown, Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau. Thank you to producer Emma Hurley in Level 2 Wellington, Te Whanganui a Tara, and Ka Hoki Mai a Popo. Thanks for joining us. Lisa Owen is with Checkpoint next.